dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome in once again to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox, one of your three hosts for this evening. And this is show 213, of course, all of them brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just off of Bridge Street, behind the Hampton Inn. They are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can find Cardo's Pizzas. You can have parties and all kinds of events there. Check in on their soccer leagues, depending on what time of the year it is. Sports, arcades, and the super inflatable land. And then they're also into inflatable rentals coming up on the spring and the summer. You don't want to miss that. Give them a call at 740-773-7529 or look them up on the web at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. They are a billboard sponsor for our show, all 213 of them, and we really appreciate that. So we're going to introduce the sports nerds, or I will say the sports nerd tonight. I have one Mr. Shane Combs with me. We asked Derek to come in and make an appearance, and unfortunately, Shane, he is AWOL, but he is an AWOL with a purpose. He is down, I believe, in Florida to possibly receive some awards for writing for the Gazette, if I'm not mistaken. And welcome into you, by the way.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been a crazy week, a lot of basketball, and you know, in all honesty, with as much as Derek gives to the website and the time he spends here, I was glad I was able to jump in a small way and help a little bit and try to write a little bit this weekend and send him some things he can edit up and stuff and use in whatever way. I haven't had a chance with the busy schedule to see exactly how it all turned out, but I know I was able to get those to him. And
did you get your name in the paper, do you think?
Well, that I don't know, but I said in the tweet over the weekend that I'm no Derek Webb, but,
right?
You know, I'm no DW1509, but I'm capable of at least making sure everyone knows who wins and loses, I guess. So.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to do that, and hope he's having a good trip. And we knew that it would be tough logistically to get him lined up, but you know, you and I will go ahead and put a capper on winter here, and I think we have a really cool show tonight with a feature segment later that we had been talking about all year with, you know, maybe why basketball numbers are down and some of the different roles that all the different sports are playing in that, and some of the other factors. Should be a lot of fun.
Yes, and I want to make it clear now, we are not going to dock his pay. Is that what you're saying?
yeah, we'll go ahead and keep it the same.
Keep it the same. All right. Well, I'm glad that we got that straightened out. And Derek, we will definitely miss you if and when you get to listen to this show. I don't know whether he listens when he's not around
at least this time that he left the state. We're pretty sure he's coming back for the spring.
So yeah, we're holding his apartment hostage and all of his belongings unless if he doesn't come back, we'll hold that over his head. But as Shane said, it's our final winter show. We'll be back in the spring for 6 or 7 or so shows, and we'll have more details on what to look forward to with that. Shane, as you mentioned earlier, seems like you had quite the busy week, you know, kind of just with all the tournament games happening and so forth. And you had mentioned to me earlier that Monday through Saturday you have attended a total of like 12 basketball games. And maybe listened or somehow covered a total of 20, and that's a lot. Yeah,
over the postseason, I was wanting to say it was almost 20 if you count some of the games I've caught on the radio, and obviously these are outside the SVC as well. But this particular week, I believe it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I attended two games a day.
Wow.
So I was down at Waverly for the boys semifinal, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Then on Thursday, went down to the district girls, watched both games. And then Friday, saw a couple games and, actually was listening to another one there with Benton County Friday night at the same time. And then Saturday, that's when I was helping Derek a little bit. I was over at Southeastern in the afternoon, then down at Waverly at night. So, yeah, it was busy, but a lot of fun. I'm getting too old to do it every week, but boy, to do it the tournament week, the sectional week every year is it's just fun. It's it you see so many different styles of basketball, a lot of different fan bases, a lot of different things in terms of upsets or great teams or great players or so forth, and maybe kids you don't get to see all year, because I do watch so much SVC. Mm-hmm. I even enjoyed watching some of the non-league teams play as well. So look forward to doing it a little bit more this week down at the Convo. Obviously, as baseball gets going, that's got to become the priority in after school there. But certainly an exciting time to see as much as you can.
Well, let's just kind of quickly summarize. We're recording this on Sunday night, and if I'm correct, I think we still got one girls team, that being Southeastern, going to the district finals. And then we've got half of our boys' league going to the Convo. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was really a cool week for SVC basketball people, because I mean, if we're being honest, some of the leagues around Southern Ohio, particularly the Southern Hills League, or now they call themselves the Southern Hills Athletic Conference, they have some really rich tradition in basketball, and they've really, if I'm being fair, they've really kind of whooped us in a lot of areas in basketball. In this particular year, the SVC's kind of really stepped to the front. Obviously, Southeastern being the only girls team, that's a really big win for them against a really good Eastern Brown program. Mm-hmm. I know Eastern's gone through some injuries and so forth, but you know, for Southeastern to get that win and now have an opportunity to move forward and play for a district championship. And then on the boys' side, if you remember, Bruce, I kind of ended last week's show with a headline of maybe like a little boys' pick-me-up, postseason pick-me-up,
right.
And I really thought that happened. It was nice to see some of the matchups on the bracket come out the way they did. Piketon, Uniota struggled maybe a little bit more down the stretch than some people would think, but man, gosh, winning's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's we're going to talk about some details later in the show, and you know, winning's really, really hard. To their credit, as favorites, they found a way. And then here we are with Southeastern doing this again. That's kind of a fun story to follow. And then obviously Paint Valley, nobody in Southern Ohio is hotter than them. I think it's 12 out of 13 now, actually. I had that wrong in that article originally. I think it's 12 out of 13 for them. Only Uniota has beaten them now, and over the last, gosh, whatever that's been, almost a month probably. Mm-hmm. To get half of our boys' league to the Convo, to still have Ellis Skeens and the Lady Panthers going into the district final play, that's a lot of fun, and it's just a nice statement for our league with great players like Swingle, like Skeens, like Purdue, like, you know, Swackhammer and company at their Uniota. Just a lot of good storylines to follow, and something our league should be really proud of as we root, you know, obviously root for our own team, but root each other on as well.
Yep. Well, we're definitely going to talk some more basketball here in the show, but first let's head to the Know Your Website segment. That's brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Yeah, Crown Hill Golf Club. I know the weather next couple of days is going to be really nice. Give them a call there. They're going to be opening up. I know Tuesday they're really looking for some good play. 986-4653. Again, that's 740-986-4653. I was texting back and forth with Kevin just a little bit today, actually, and I'll be sharing some of his comments on a topic a little bit later in the show. But gosh, and give him a call, and if you're looking to get out and play a little bit, I'm sure they'll hook you up. Make sure you tell them SVC Sports Talk sent you. And on the Learn the Website part of it, Bruce, I just wanted to make sure people understood, as we start to transition after this week, I'll really start to transition the sports logos there on the front page. That's how you get to the individual scoreboard pages for each of these sports. And right now, let's not overlook wrestling. as things come in. We had our league champion there a couple weeks back in Westfall with all the all-league winners in each weight class. Now I know Paint Valley had some kids do pretty well in a Blanchester sectional. As I get more results in there, I'll be able to post those. But you can look at the wrestling. And then look at baseball, softball, track. I'll be starting to make the new 2018 pages here in the next week or two. Mm-hmm. And then those will be up. And it won't be long, but gosh, I think it's the last Saturday in March we open. So you'll start to see the schedules and the standings start to unfold there as well. So also check out the individual school pages there on the front where you see their school logo. I'll start to get baseball, softball, track. Some things I know a couple of or more experienced coaches have already been sending in some of their preseason notes and some rosters and schedules. And I'll hope once basketball slows down here over another week or so, I'll start to put all the spring coverage together. So if you're new to the website and you're really getting into it, the same places there where you're watching for the basketball scoreboard, when you click on those basketball pages, simply look for the baseball, softball, track logos, and it won't be long before they're up and running all the time.
All righty. We appreciate that and thank Crown Hill for their sponsorship. We're going to head now to fan feedback, look at the inbox and other fan feedback brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Give them a call at 740-477-9828. And at this point in time, you might probably do best to follow them on Facebook. Go to their Facebook page for some important information on changes they're making. They've been our SVC school apparel provider of fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and other sports equipment. And then also they're now into the custom screen printing, custom embroidery, and corporate wear. But they are changing. They have closed their Main Street location. They're going to maintain a sales office at 216 North Court Street in Circleville. They in the Facebook page that I'm so interested in or advising people to look for, there's a large post provided by Jeff Miller, and he makes mention that their phone numbers will stay the same. So give them a call up there. Shane, you might have talked with them a little bit. You might kind of provide what information.
Yeah, I did. They want to let a lot of spring coaches know, baseball coaches know. They're still going to try to help a lot of coaches through, even though they're going to go away from equipment a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I know they've been great to me. They just delivered some stuff down to me, nets and L screens, some different things, and our baseballs. And they're going to still try to help coaches through this season to do that. Now they'll start to scale back on that stuff in the future, but did want to let them know that they can still do that, because those guys, man, Bruce, I'm telling you, those guys are incredible to the Southeast. Really Southeast Ohio when it comes to baseball and the support they give the Southeast District in particular. And I know I speak for all the coaches when I say we really, really appreciate that.
All right. That's C&K Athletic Equipment. Again, the phone number there, 740-477-9828. Well, we go into our inbox and got some other fan feedback and some of the topics that came in this week, Shane. First one is regarding our Southeastern boys basketball program. Someone asked the question, basically, have they been underachieving in the regular season or are they overachieving in the postseason?
I mean, that's certainly a fair question, I guess, but it is kind of a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, you know, you certainly don't want to take away from what they've been able to do and at the end of the season. You know, as coaches, I think we always say our number one goal is to play our very best at the end. You want to get better from start to finish. And this is a team that, gosh, they've done that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when all of a sudden you win a district championship last year, and then you come in under 500 this year, and here we go again. Mm-hmm. You know, they beat the Southern Hills Athletic Champion the other night in West Union. And quite frankly, you know, you hate to say this just off of one game, but it's one game on a neutral site with the season on the line. Quite frankly, Southeastern was just better than them. Hmm. You know, it's one of those things where just as a basketball eye watching it, you'd feel like if they're playing a best of seven game series, Southeastern would win it. So I certainly understand where this question's coming from. You know, look, Southeastern's a program with incredible tradition. There's a lot of pride on what the front of that jersey says in the blue and white and their fan base. I think it's a little bit harsh, though, in this case to say that they underachieved in this particular regular season, Bruce. And here's why. See if you follow me here.
Okay.
They lose twice to Uniota.
Yeah.
They lose twice to Zane Trace. You lose twice to Piketon, a number one seed in D3. You lose twice to a Dylan Swingle team in Paint Valley, who I just said might be the hottest team in Southern Ohio in D3 right mm-hmm. now. I was on record 2 weeks ago saying the Paint Valley 5 seed was a joke. I called that when the bracket came out. I mean, as good as Oak Hill is, there's no way Oak Hill can be thrilled about playing Paint Valley in the district semifinal. Mm-hmm. And that's just a result of poor seeding. So there was, 8 losses I just named?
Yep.
So, you know, they lose to Vinton County in the non-league and some other D2. I think they lost to Miami. I don't have their schedule in front of me. I think they lost to Miami Trace, who just gave Uniota all they wanted. So I think to use a term like underachieve is really a little bit harsh. I understand the question.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair question. But I think in this particular case, you have to analyze the team a little bit more and study them a little bit more. Keep in mind, this was a team that made a deep playoff run in football. They come in late. They had a nice non-conference win against Alexander. So, to me, underachieving would be a little harsh. I think it's a team that got better and better as the year went on, and again, here we are in postseason, and they're peaking with some good matchups and really, really kind of a winnable game ahead of them as well.
Okay. Well, there's Shane's answer on that one. Next question has to do with somebody you already mentioned there. You mentioned that Southeastern had gotten beaten by them twice during the year, but that's the Zane Trace boys. You know, with what they've been doing and what they've been in, the way they've been playing, do you have any concern for next year?
Boy, has this been an interesting topic that several people have kind of stopped me and just asked different things about. And I guess where it's coming from, Bruce, is there's been a lot of people in our area, including myself and Derek here on SVC Sports Talk, that have kind of thrown their name out there as kind of a team to beat next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think with the way the league improves from the bottom, where those bottom 4 or 5 teams get a lot better, I just think that I understand the question. I think there is a little bit of a concern with the way they finish with Piketon, the way they finish with Uniota, the way they finish with Gallia. But again, on the other hand, I would say those are 3 really good basketball teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gary Kello, a Hall of Famer, comes in, really establishes the defensive end. For whatever reason, the offensive end just didn't come together the way I'm sure he wanted it to from January on. And but here's the thing: even though they graduate a couple nice kids, they have a lot of depth in that sophomore class. When you're dealing with boys, you're talking about a much, much bigger difference when you start going to battle every night with 17 and 18-year-olds compared to 15, 16-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of those guys, their bodies are going to fill out. They're going to get stronger. Those guys playing for guys like Alan Coker and Gary Kello, they're really established on the defensive end. Zane Trace is loaded all the way down. I mean, their numbers are coming back up. For whatever reason, this year the freshman class didn't have a lot of numbers. Everybody I talked to, I probably had 4 different sources I trust at Zane Trace tell me that was just a fluke in terms of numbers, that will never, I think 1 or 2 of them said that will never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So they're confident their numbers are going to rise. And not that, you know, Zane Trace needs excuses for me, but I'm just telling you, I've become very familiar with this with my brother being at Vinton County. Division II in the Southeast is just a different animal, mm-hmm. you know, where Zane Trace sometimes might be the big dog on the sidewalk over there barking in D3. Now, all of a sudden, they crawl to the other side of that line.
Yep.
And they got a little taste of D2. I mean, imagine Zane Trace just maybe 7 boys less on their enrollment playing down in the Waverly sectional.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue they're the best team down there, where that's just not the way it goes. You know what I'm saying? When it goes the other route. So Again, it shows the intelligence of our fans. Very, very fair question. Very fair. And how will these kids handle that bullseye? Because for the first time in a long time, you got Uniota maybe kind of hiding out in the weeds now all of a sudden. I'm telling you, as I watch more and more some of those Uniota kids at the end of the year, Uniota's not going to be nearly as bad as people think they are. Obviously, they're going to be down compared to what they've been the last 4 years. They're still going to be very, very good. So that's going to be interesting. I really look for a lot of teams to get better. So yeah, Zane Trace gonna have their hands full, but I see no reason why it changes anybody's prediction when you start to think of Cam Evans and company coming back and what the future holds for Zane Trace.
All righty. We had another interesting one that I swear this came from your fellow nerds, probably in the rafters up there. But it's basically saying that we've had a lot of close tournament games here, which is fair. And they want to know, what are the details or the little things that lead to those wins or losses being just so close, so close? What leads to those things, other than maybe the obvious, they didn't score a lot or something like that?
Well, first of all, I think you used the harsh term of nerd. Uh-huh. I think we prefer the students of the game.
Okay. You students of the game, SOGs, yes. SOGs. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the more I got to thinking about a lot of these things, there's probably three things that jump out at me. Cause like you said, there's obvious things every time you play basketball. Sure. You have to compete in terms of rebounding. You have to compete in terms of turnovers. And then obviously the goal is to score more points. So you need to shoot well and you need to defend well. So beyond those obvious things, I think the more discussion that we're having here, what are some of the intangibles that maybe get lost that cheat you some possessions or cheat your team, being able to, or cheat your coach, maybe the opportunity to take his or her game plan and carry it out start to finish. And here's three things I've come up with. Number one, I think it's the scouting report and the adjustment period that happens early in the game to halftime to late in the game. Because what happens, Bruce, is you can watch all the film you want to watch and you can study all you want to study. There's just no... It's so hard to simulate or so hard to understand how quick Tanner Perdue is, mm-hmm. how big Dylan Swingle is, how good Ellis Gaines is. And it's just so difficult to understand those things. And the same can be said, you know, like the McLaughlin kid from Lynchburg, what a special talent he is. The same can be said outside of our league when we're going to play these other kids as well. So I think that's the first thing that takes place is having knowledge of a true scouting report. Because when you're playing the league, mm-hmm. the scouting report's important, but a lot of our kids at least have an understanding of who they're playing. Does that make sense? Because yeah. in today's time, kids know everybody. Yep. Where all of a sudden now, if you're playing Lynchburg, if you're playing Portsmouth, if you're playing West Union, if you're playing Eastern Brown, if you're playing Portsmouth West or whoever from these other conferences, the scouting report and that paper that the coach is handing you or the film that the coach is watching with you or for you, man, does that become really, really important. And if you don't have an understanding of that, it can get you beat because, you know, if a certain kid takes over a game, if a certain 3-point shooter already hit three or four threes in the first quarter or first half before you figure it out, it could be too late.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that I think has just been butchered, I mean, it's almost, as a former point guard, it's almost hard to watch. It's the time and score. Time and score is a mess. I mean, we have experienced point guards taking the ball when their coach is wanting one shot. You can hear them all the way at the top of Waverly
right.
with thousands of people yelling. You can hear them say one shot. And you'll have kids attacking the glass with 12 seconds to go, 10 seconds to go, taking a shot way too early or turning it over. And then now what happens is it allows the other team to come back the other way and maybe steal momentum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm seeing situations where a team will be up 8 or 9 they'll have the possession arrow, which means they're going to get the ball after the quarter as well. And they'll go way too early. They'll turn it over. And then there's so many little things that can happen on the other end. The obvious thing is you allow the other team an extra shot at the basket that they shouldn't have received. You know what I mean? That, yeah. So that could be 2 or 3 point, but then it could lead to foul.
Right.
So now maybe you have a kid that is going to the end of the first quarter with a second foul instead of a first foul. You know, maybe a coach subbed a kid in thinking that he or she is going to be on offense, and now all of a sudden you take that quick shot. Now they have to go back and defend, and they pick up that foul. So there's just so many different things in time and score, and I'm not sure why. It's just a real mental thing or a focus thing. And then the third thing I would throw in here is composure. Tournament atmospheres are intense. You know, as we said before, they let you play. They get more physical. Obviously, the fans are more passionate because it's final. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the season's on the line. It's one thing to be, you know, passionate about a Saturday night non-league game back in December. This is final. You know, your season's on the line. So every whistle, every shot, everything that happens, it's like the entire crowd's really hanging on every single thing. And as a result, things get more and more intense. And I've just watched certain kids lose their composure at the wrong time. And boy, can that really hurt your team. You know, I come home last night and even watching a college game on TV, the Oregon-Arizona game. And a senior from Arizona just completely lost his composure and cost his team the game late in the game. You know, it happens. I mean, obviously, we're dealing with teenagers. But it's one of the real funny things and difficult things in coaching because, you know, adults can lose their composure in the stands.
Right.
You know, officials can get mad. Coaches can get mad within reason. But, you know, the teenagers involved, the kids, the players, they really can't. And when they do, it's going to impact their play in a negative way. It could lead to technicals. It could lead to fouls. You know what I mean? You'll see a kid miss a shot. They're frustrated and they foul. Well, now all of a sudden, maybe that was their third foul in a third quarter. I was complimenting a couple kids the other night that I've really seen some growth in them where they missed an easy shot, but they were able to control their emotion and not foul. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it was really those little things are big plays because all of a sudden your team may not be very deep. And if you foul, now all of a sudden maybe someone who's not as good as you has to play for the next, say, 4 minutes of that quarter. So those are some of the little things, your time and score, your scouting report, your composure in these atmospheres. Those are some of the things that come to my mind that I really pay attention to. And, you know, if each of those things win you or lose you 2 to 3 points, that can obviously be more than the difference in winning or losing.
All right. Some interesting aspects there that you've brought up. This one, the next one is I find this very interesting. I'm eager to hear what you say about this. And that is someone offered, wanted you to go, I know you're a gambler here, Shane, over and under for 20 years for Dylan Swingle's and Ellis Skeen's records. 20 years.
Well, first of all, the thing that really makes you feel old is in 20 years, I'm going to be 60. Yeah. So, well,
if I'm still around, I'll be a lot older than that. So,
that is a great question. I mean, if I had to sit here right now and say, I would have to go with the over 20 years in terms of the records, and really for both of them, just percentages say, I mean, first of all, look, you could say that girls play earlier as their freshman year and they average more points and so forth or bigger roles. But I mean, that particular record is what, 2,200 points or whatever. I mean, that's insane. And then on the boys' side, Dylan's pushing this thing close to 1,800 now. And, you know, even though more and more freshmen are playing, it's just so hard for a freshman or sophomore to get off to that type of pace. I will throw this in there on this discussion, Bruce. I think the number of 1,000-point scores, if you look over the last almost 100 years or 90 years, 80 years, going back to some of our early Frankfort, Clarksburg, Centralia, all those days, I will say this on the 1,000-point list for our league and county. I think in the next 10 to 15 years, those numbers are going to skyrocket. With the 22 games, more and more freshmen playing, I do think the 1,000-point scores are going to go way up. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to become a very common thing. Not to say it's not going to still be a good accomplishment, but it's going to become a much more common thing. But if you're asking me more on the top of the list, when we get into the top 10, the top 5, I would have to say over. I'd have a hard time believing that quick a turnaround that we could have someone score that level of points. Okay. So
we'll remember that in 20 years, folks. You write that down. Shane says longer than 20 years for the records both to fall. So
we'll be what, 27 of SVC Sports Talk then?
you might be. I sure won't be. I don't believe so. We'll probably be delivering a video thing by then, and they will have kicked me off because I have a face for radio. Let's go now. We're going to go to our feature segment for this particular episode of SVC Sports Talk. And this is something that we teased with long, long ago. I was trying to remember whether it was the end of the football back when we did the show, probably 199, or was it at the very beginning, basketball? But the premise for this was that, you know, basketball numbers seem to be going down. I think you said there are 4 SVC teams that did not have freshman programs, I believe, this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yep.
And you, I'll just kind of lay it in your lap because you talked about this, you noticed it, and I know you've done quite a bit of beating the pavement to kind of round up some input from others. So I'll kind of just let you summarize what the premise is here.
Yeah, I think just the overall numbers, I think we wanted to focus on boys and girls, but more to the girls' side to see what the growth of volleyball, what the growth of softball. I've heard people say with softball, I've heard people say with soccer. Mm-hmm. And then the travel versions of all those as well. You know, your club volleyball, your travel soccer, club soccer, and so forth with some of the travel softball. And what I tried to do was get out to all schools. I tried to get out to a lot of our past and present athletes. I didn't put them all on audio. I picked out probably three different audios here, and then I'm going to share some other notes throughout the segment as well. But you know, I think we've come up with some pretty good concepts. That maybe not everybody will agree with, but it'll certainly generate some discussion. And I think, like anything, Bruce, what will happen throughout this segment is we'll start to realize that a way a coach looks at it, the way a principal looks at it, the way a parent looks at it, the way a player looks at it, the way a fan looks at it, it can be a lot of different angles. And, mm-hmm. and that's why we probably haven't been able to master the answer at all. You know what I mean? But I think when you share perspectives from all these different viewpoints, boy, do you come up with some interesting discussion points. And it just allows us to maybe all appreciate or understand each other a little bit more. So, you know, first on the boys' side, I still feel like there's so much that links back to Little League, mm-hmm. and how it starts to lend itself to a burnout. I use the baseball analogy as I was doing this the other night, and I was talking to some different people. You know, just about every boy in America, we like to say, starts out playing a little T-ball, a little coach pitch, something. And I don't know how many kids will tell me in the junior high classroom or in their freshman or sophomore years, I talk to them about if they're interested in playing baseball. Oh gosh, coach, you know, I started playing baseball when I was 5, or I've been playing baseball since I was 5. I was just kind of burnt out a little bit. You know, I might try track, or I might just try something else. Or, you know, I think as they get introduced to other sports, it's the newness, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's some of those things. So I think now with basketball, there's certainly a little bit of that growing as well. So I think that's a factor. As I moved over to the girls' side, I guess that's where more of my focus started to come when it got into this particular segment on why basketball numbers are going down, or why really numbers in a lot of different sports are going down. And I started to look in the first part of my research to the 3-sport athlete. And I thought to myself, you know, I want to spread it around the big school and small school. So obviously some of the extremes in our league in terms of enrollment, you take like a Paint Valley and a Uniota. Okay. So, the first person I wanted to get some audio to, I went out and I interviewed multiple kids from both of those schools and just tried to get a feel for it. And then I thought to myself, I wanted to talk to Leah McFadden, mm-hmm. At Paint Valley. She's an elite multi-sport athlete, that does an outstanding job passing the volleyball, does an outstanding job, running the point for their basketball team. And then, is an incredible catcher for the softball team. She, obviously handling Michaela Newland here over the last couple of years, really helped them go to a new level there in terms of their softball program. So, Leah was one I wanted to talk to. And then I also talked to Hallie Pinkerton from Uniota, looking to more of a big school of how does the multi-sport athlete balance it all there. And, let's start with Leah. Let's start from the small school perspective. I guess, it was a longer interview with her, so I chopped it up a little bit here. And the first audio I was wanting to play, Bruce, if we could, I just asked her what some of the challenges were when it comes to working on the multiple sports throughout the year.
It's kind of hard because, like, when I'm in volleyball season, I want to focus on volleyball. But at the same time, I need to be preparing for basketball. And I didn't when I played volleyball, I didn't necessarily shoot a lot for basketball. But when I was in basketball, I caught a lot for softball because Michaela was very difficult to catch. So I needed to prepare for that.
And I think what's interesting there, Bruce, is, you know, and the one thing when you look at Michaela, who, by the way, I'd encourage people to follow her there at Akron, where she's pitching now.
Mm-hmm.
She's really off to a nice start in her college career. But, you know, obviously with a kid like that, there was a very demanding off season for her. So obviously she wanted her catcher along. And a lot of times that's the type of thing that happens where even kids start to pull kids into working on other sports. And, you know, you're getting pulled from coaches. Coaches want you to be here. Some coaches will totally leave you alone during another sport. Some parents have different philosophies on, you know, right now it's this season. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Others are, you know, they'll jump right in and go. I started to ask her a little bit more specifically here in this next clip about what maybe attracts the young girls to volleyball compared to all the sports. Here are some of her comments comparing volleyball, basketball.
I've honestly enjoyed playing all the sports, but I mean, basketball is a more physical game. Maybe people don't like the physicalness of that, but volleyball, I don't know. I've just enjoyed volleyball my whole life. I've grown up around it, so.
Yeah. And I think it is interesting because she was exposed to volleyball so much younger, but I've had other people, as we'll start to get into the Hallie Pinkerton interview, I've had other people kind of talk to me about the burnout, mm-hmm. the opposite effect, where they're introduced to the game of basketball so much earlier. They're introduced to the game of softball so much earlier. A lot of girls had told me I started playing Little League Baseball, and then I went over to softball a little bit. So softball was a little bit new for me, and I didn't have some of the burnout that some of their friends on the boys' side have. That was something here in my notes that I'd seen. I think the best thing to do next, Bruce, if that's okay, is just play the Hallie Pinkerton interview. And I think she makes two or three points about balancing it, coaches playing a role in it, and all the time that goes into it. Let's just go ahead and play the full interview here, and I'll talk about a couple points.
Well, the biggest question is just, you know, when we talk about balancing all the sports, it seems like more and more athletes are becoming specialized, for lack of a better word, going to one way. You know, you've been a kid that continues to play them all, and you play them all, at least from in the stands. It looks like you have a great passion and love them all. Just how have you been able to balance that all and continue to do all that?
It's definitely not easy, and it takes a lot of just like love and passion for the games that you play, and a lot of dedication, a lot of time, a lot of hours. And I mean, it's just fun. That's how I see it. And I have a great time doing it, and I enjoy doing it, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Do you feel like coaches have to have an understanding of, you know, hey, maybe during volleyball, I got to get my basketball shots up on a weekend, or during basketball, I have to go get my hitting in on the weekend? Is there a balance like that for a three-sport athlete in today's time? And do we as adults need to do a little bit better job of maybe understanding that balance?
Most of my coaches are like okay with me doing multiple sports at one time, because right now I'm doing club volleyball and I'm also playing school softball. And so I do volleyball on Sundays and then softball is the rest of the week. And then during volleyball season, we shot on Sundays sometimes for basketball. Just okay. Here and there, whatever you can get in, whenever you can get it.
Yeah. Do you, I'm not going to ask you to speak for other people or whatever, but in terms of volleyball, just from a, you know, a young lady growing up that's athletic in the 7th, 8th, 9th grade, is there something about the sport of volleyball that maybe lends itself a little bit more than, say, a physical, more demanding sport from a physicality standpoint, like basketball, or is that not true?
Well, I don't know. I started playing volleyball when I was in seventh grade. That's the first time I ever picked up a volleyball. And I just love it so much. And I played basketball for a lot longer than I played volleyball. And I don't know.
That's interesting. Just, maybe get girls getting introduced to it a little bit later. So it's kind of new and to get into
new
it.
New and fresh.
Yeah, that was the part at the end there, Bruce, I really found interesting, because first of all, what she told me, she was introduced to the game of volleyball in the seventh grade. She's awfully good at her age, if that's the case. But again, I think it goes back to the specialization of the sport. What happens is, if you are 6 foot, and let's say you're not very very fast,
mm-hmm.
you can still impact a volleyball game at the net, and you could argue you'd still impact a basketball game, but you still have to be able to dribble and pass and catch and run the floor and defend and rebound and do all these things. Same way, if you are only 5'1 or 5'2, maybe you haven't been blessed with a lot of height. Well, in basketball, that can hurt you a little bit, because you know you're trying to pass against traps and and so forth, where in volleyball you can specialize as a passer or do some things in the back row. So I do think there's some more skill specific things that take place. I think that's a big factor that draws more and more kids into junior high. I think in volleyball it's accepted more to play half of the time. What I mean by that is, if you only play the back row, well, you know, you're 5'1 or 5'2, you can't hit.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you can hit, if you play on elite teams, you can't hit as well as the 5'10, 5'11 girl who comes in for you. Mm-hmm. Where if I start taking a basketball player and I say, hey, you're going to play about 15 or 16 minutes a night, you know, mom or dad may not like that all of a sudden, or the kid may not like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've had people kind of talk to me about. But I think what's so interesting with both of these young ladies is it proves to me, at least, that it can still be done, because obviously there's more examples than just these two. These are just two that I'd had audio from and I wanted to share. But both of these young ladies are straight A students, high GPA. They both have incredible schedules. Like I know Pinkerton was telling me, they'll have their softball right now in season. Softball will go Monday through Saturday. And then on Tuesday, Thursday night after softball, they'll have club volleyball practice a lot of times. And then a typical weekend will have something on a Sunday with volleyball or so forth. Or as you heard her say in her interview, you know, maybe you, during volleyball, you shoot a little bit on the weekend,
mm-hmm.
or during basketball. I know, I believe it was the Coleman girl from, Emily Coleman from Uniota that was hurt, playing volleyball, entering basketball season. Or actually playing basketball on the weekend during volleyball season. So those types of things can happen. It certainly is a balance, but, The one last audio from Leah there before I move on to the next segment of my feature is I simply just asked a question at the end. Knowing what you know now, if you were giving advice to a young lady, would the advice be to specialize more on one sport, or would it be to play as many things as possible?
Definitely. I definitely would. I think that if I play a sport too long, I get tired of it, or I feel like injuries are more likely to happen because you're using those muscles for that sport. And by playing different sports, I think it's fun playing different sports. You get to experience different things.
And again, that's Leah McFadden of Paint Valley and Hallie Pinkerton of Uniota. I really appreciate those two young ladies joining me. I've been able to talk to people. I think I got through 6 or 7 different SVC schools to try to get some perspective on some of these notes that I'm sharing. And I guess I want to turn a little bit more to looking at more of the specialization. I you heard me earlier talk about talking to Kevin Schultz. Obviously, Kevin's the golf coach the Westfall for the Lady Mustangs. His daughter, Maddie Schultz, is an incoming freshman in the program next fall. And yeah, she's really elite. And I was talking to him through text a little bit, and he was sharing with me how much she loves the game of basketball. And, you know, he's like, sure, like any parent or any coach, every time she goes to take a charge or dive on the floor for a loose ball or whatever she's doing, you know, you worry about your kid getting hurt or you worry about the kid, you know, with an injury. Mm-hmm. But as he said, you know, he would never step in the way as a coach or as a dad in terms of making a kid specialize. If the kid on his or her own made that type of decision and they felt like that's really what they wanted to do, then, you know, you support that. That's fine. But I thought that was really interesting because, you know, golf is such a repetition thing over and over and over. You know, being a great shooter in basketball is something over and over and over. And I guess people will say, well, wouldn't you agree that a Leah McFadden or a Hallie Pinkerton or someone, if they only played a couple sports, would be that much better? And I guess that's a fair argument, but I mean, to me, they've made it work. And what I'll give from a coach's perspective is I need my best athletes out. I don't know what it really means to be 100% committed anymore. You know, when it goes to, there's different levels of commitment. There's that kid that will show up the first day of practice and he or she is there all year long to every commitment. Mm-hmm. Even during season. Now, sometimes we share our athletes with another sport or they miss for this or this or this. And every coach has their different philosophies. And I'd say a lot of it has to do with, you know, what's your situation, big school, small school, or are you trying to fill a roster? Are you trying to keep athletes out? What are your guidelines? What are your rules? And then what happens is there's another level of commitment as you go into the off season. Are kids going to be at your open gyms? Are kids going to be at weightlifting? Are kids going to be at team camp? You know, some kids are, some kids aren't. And that does make it more difficult. I think what it is for me is if I'm a coach and I have an off season thing, like an open gym, and I have a 2 or 3 sport athlete, I think I can live just fine with, you know, if Leah McFadden, for example. Why isn't Leah at open gym today? Well, if someone tells me it's because she's at a softball workout or she's, you know, at a volleyball camp, I can certainly handle that. Where if they tell me she's down at the city pool, mm-hmm. then obviously that's more of a problem. So I think a lot of times it just comes down to are kids using it? Because see, the other thing sometimes kids will do is they'll use it as an out. Mm. You know, I concentrate only on this sport, can't go to that. Well, again, if that's the philosophy of their parents, or if that's truly their philosophy, who am I to tell them different? But I do think, unfortunately, there's some kids that use it as a crutch of I can't go to that.
Would you give that kid that shows up, I mean, let's say that the skill levels are the same, the nature of the play is the same and so forth, but you would definitely give the kid that attends more of your functions precedence, if you would,
I think your human nature is, now come the season, if the kid's meeting the guidelines and they've been to everything and they're working hard and they're doing all the things the right way, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's my job to play the best kid. But sure, if you're asking me in a, for lack of a better term, a tiebreaker, what I mean, or I think the human nature is, we look at kids, and a lot of times we look at that younger kid because we know the next 2 or 3 off seasons they're going to be there. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I can trust that Hallie Pinkerton type of 3-sport athlete. Or, you know, I know Ricky McGill was a kid that I talked to a lot at Huntington about this when she was in school. You know, basketball is probably her 3rd best sport, but you could trust that every single time you had something for basketball, she was going to be there. Her off-season attendance was perfect. So that's an example of what we're talking about. Sometimes we get in such a situation where we rank the sports. Oh, this is my favorite sport, or this is my second favorite sport, or this is my third favorite sport. You know, and I just don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, if you play all the sports, I think you have to do your best to prepare yourself to play all the sports. It gets more and more difficult, but let's face it, there's sometimes kids can just show up on the first day of practice and God's blessed them with a little bit more athleticism, a little bit more talent, and that's just kind of life. I mean, as long as they show up with the proper attitude and work ethic and they're good enough, they're going to play. And to be honest, as a coach, I've learned at Paint Valley, a small school, I've learned that you can't build a program without those. And I think that brings me to our next part of this feature. One of the real, real elite athletes in our league, Bruce, you've heard us talk about her on SVC Sports Talk over and over and over, is Cameron Chandler from Piketon. And, you know, Cammy's a special, special athlete, really, really neat kid, great kid, great work ethic. And I really wanted to get her perspective. She was a kid that played basketball earlier in her career. And, you know, at her size and her athleticism, just as soon as she walked on the basketball court, she made it better. And obviously, the more she played, she was going to get better and better. I know she did go through some injuries on the basketball court. And later in her career, she decided to focus a little bit more on other sports. Obviously, the most obvious one would be her volleyball career, and what she's done for that program is off the charts. But I think that's what happens. I think the way you build a program at a small school, or at least this is what I've learned, is take Piketon volleyball. The first thing that has to happen is you have to have a special athlete like a Cammy Chandler come through with a Jordan Morse. The second thing is you have to then find you're not going to realistically find 5, 6, 7 kids that probably dedicate themselves to volleyball quite the way they do, but you're looking for other kids that are willing to invest a little bit with them. And they start to find that with 2, 3, 4 people. Piketon was hurt a little bit by soccer. I'm sure hurt a little bit by some of the kids. I know there's a couple kids that are real into softball, a couple kids into basketball, but they're able to start to get some different athletes out. And before you know it, they start to get a more and more competitive product. They were probably 1 or 2 kids away from being to that next level of elite, you know, in terms of regional or competing with the Uniota Southeastern at the top of the standings. But I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and play, you know, her first answer. And I apologize on the audio here, Bruce, you do a good job with this stuff. But the other girls, I was able to set up to talk to them in person. A lot of my notes I've had, I was able to talk to people in person. Scheduling wise, Cammy and I kind of, we're hit and miss, and I couldn't get with her face to face. She was kind enough to call into the DBK media messaging system and kind of answer these questions for me, prepare some statements for us, and give us some audio. So I really appreciate that. But that's why the audio here might sound just a little bit different. But I really appreciate her doing this. The first question, basically, why she just decided to not play basketball moving forward.
I stopped playing basketball because, honestly, I felt that I wasn't committed enough to it, and I shouldn't take someone else's spot who was 100% committed. I wouldn't want a player like that on the volleyball team. I did appreciate it, though. I became more physical. I developed a stronger mental game. I became more disciplined, and I wanted to thank Brett Carino for that. Coach Carino is not just a basketball coach. He is a life coach.
Well, I thought that was a really neat answer because it was very honest. You know, she talked about how she had great relationship with the basketball coach. Coach Carino and her had good rapport. She felt like it helped her as an athlete in certain areas. But she talked a lot about that commitment. And I thought that was neat, Bruce, because I think the elite athletes look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They look at it as, if I'm not going to commit 100%, then I'm not going to do it. Well, 100% to them, again, means in season, off season, all around commitment. Where I guess what I've learned as a coach is you start to need more of those athletes. In the perfect world, they all would be committed, but you do need more and more to go. The second part, I guess we went a little bit more specific and asked, you know, what she thought as someone who loved volleyball, what she thinks about the sport of volleyball is maybe attracting kids to that particular sport.
I feel that girls play volleyball more than other sports because it is a sport where you can just sort of like relax, enjoy, and you aren't body on body contact. However, you are body to floor contact, and that can be just as rough. It is a sport where you need to be more physically fit, though. You have to be quick, explosive. You need to have more upper body strength and a strong core. It is a shorter season than other sports like basketball, which sucks, but maybe that's why some girls prefer volleyball over other sports. I chose volleyball because I admire the amount of teamwork you need for it and how exciting it is. In my opinion, there's never a dull moment of volleyball. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thank you, Cammy, and I appreciate her doing that. But there's three or four things that correlated with so many of my notes that I had down, Bruce. And this isn't me talking here, so please don't throw the stones at me. This is this is the collection of stuff. And I thought she discussed a couple of these things, both directly and indirectly. It talked about the ability to have the intensity yet still be a more relaxing sport. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a physical just beat on each other. I've had so many people talk to me about the physicality of basketball and the way the game is gone compared to the true skill and some of the skill specific things that happen in volleyball. I had one comment that talked about how, you know, from a girl's perspective, it was where intensity and skill and the cheerleading and the fashion and all these different things met into one. Mm-hmm. You know, they appreciated just the opportunity to do more things with their friends and things like that. There was just four or five things that kind of collected together that they really enjoyed. On the softball situation, that came up as well. People talked about how, you know, softball programs continue to grow. Mm-hmm. That takes 9-10 kids a lot of times, where, you know, volleyball takes the 6-7. So, where basketball only takes the 5. So that particular statement was made. But I just think when you look at what an athlete like Cameron was saying there on her audio, the number one thing that jumps out at me is that commitment thing. And I think you'll get four or five different people that talk about commitment or 100% commitment in a different way. You know, some people will say, some coaches will say, look, if there's two or three great athletes walking down the hallway, just show up on the first day and commit to the season. Mm-hmm. I also thought she gave a very honest explanation of the basketball season. It's mm-hmm. long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's even if you don't count all the off season things, you show up and gosh, what conditioning is probably late October. And you're going all the way November, December. It takes your Thanksgiving holiday. It takes your Christmas holiday. It takes your your New Year's holiday. And then you go through January, you go to February. If you're fortunate enough and your team's good enough, you might even start playing into March. And you'll no more get out of the tournament here. And guess where coaches are going to want you, you know, come, you know, May.
Yeah.
They're going to want you right back in open gym. And then by June, they're going to want you to come to these 10 coaching days and camps and different things. So, you know, these are all the collections of things that had come into me. I thought it was a really fascinating topic. It was one I really enjoyed doing. I don't think there's a perfect answer. I think there's a collection of a bunch of answers. And what happens in schools in Southeast Ohio that are D4, D3, maybe even small D2, I think what happens, Bruce, is if you lose one or two athletes for this reason, well, all of a sudden now, you know, you might have a roster of 10 that's pretty good with two elite athletes and a lot of role players where you just lost four elite athletes. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be. We don't have to have some major thing. A lot of times, if you lose one 5-10 kid from the volleyball team, that's going to hurt. Or if you lose one great passer from the volleyball team, it's going to hurt. If you lose one athlete that can play center field in baseball or softball, that hurts. Obviously, if you lose a pitcher, it kills you.
Yeah.
You know, if in basketball, just one or two athletes, you can be 7 deep instead of maybe 4 or 5 deep. So it's – yeah, that's what I've come up with is I listen to not just the audio, but things away from the conversations. Is I talk to people from the Paint Valley, Huntington, Southeastern school size, all the way up to the Uniota, Southeastern, is I talk to the role players, kids that do role things, all the way up to your all league performers, such as Leah and Hallie, and then obviously one of our real elite athletes there in Cameron Chandler. So I thought it was fun research. I hope to have more and more conversation. I don't know how much SBC Sports Talk it'll take up, depending on where we go from here. But it's something beyond the show. I'm really fascinated to talk to people about anytime.
We could start another podcast beyond the show or something like that. Just 30 on 30 or 30 for 30 or something like that. Well, that's all good stuff, Shane, and appreciate you taking all the time and the effort to kind of explore the topic. And people, if you're listening out there, you want to provide us maybe some feedback, we'll get to that just momentarily. But right now, we're going to go to our fast break, which is brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Yeah, Crown Hill Golf Club, give them a call. You just heard me mention Kevin there in that last segment. Let him know that SBC Sports Talk sent you. Give him a call, 986-4653. That is 740-986-4653, Crown Hill Golf Club. So, Bruce, let's go ahead. Obviously, I'm flying solo here. Throw me out the four questions from this week's Fast Break, and I'll see what I can come up with.
Looking back at winter, what moment in girls basketball was your favorite?
Well, we certainly had a lot of history and different things with Lexi Woods, Braden Collins, Ella Skeens. But if I'm looking for that special moment, it has to be the Amber Cottrell penetration. She gets to the paint. She kicks it out to Sigmund for the three. They beat Southeastern there at home. That was obviously something that impacted the final league standings. But in terms of just one moment, I'd made the comment, it was such a great basketball play, and then it was just such a great atmosphere that really sent the crowd into a frenzy. So I would say that would be the moment that sticks out to me in terms of girls basketball this year.
Let's do the same for boys. What moment stands out to you as most memorable?
Well, again, all the different things, with Dylan Swingle this year, historically, that certainly would be in the running. I thought it was really cool the one night, the texting and the Twitter updates with some of the upsets going on. Payne Valley, Unioto were involved, and we ended up doing a segment on the show about upsets early in the year. That was a lot of fun. But maybe on the boys' side, Bruce, the best is still to come. Perhaps we haven't had it yet. When you think of four teams, all with winnable games, that's not to say I'm sitting here predicting 4-0, but all with winnable games, I still feel like there's going to be multiple teams advance to the district final, maybe even to the regional. So perhaps that special moment in the boys is still to be played.
After watching nearly 20 tournament games this postseason, give the fans three or four names, boys or girls, that were not all league this year, but will certainly be breakout stars in 2019.
Well, when I look to the bottom, I mentioned in the bottom of the league how I thought they would be a lot better on the boys' side next year. I thought all those teams would really start to challenge the top four. And as I watch tournament games, the Wheeler kid from Southeastern, you could pick any of the young kids from Edina. I'm really high on the Bennett kid. Also like the Garrison kid. Seth Beeler of Huntington is really a kid that is complimenting Elijah McCloskey well. He's a special talent. If you read my reports the other night, Cruz McFadden completely took that game over late with his athleticism and then his ability to step to the line and make free throws. So Paint Valley. On the girls' side, Hal Bowell of Huntington jumps out at me. They're going to be so talented with their top 2-3 star power next year. Even include maybe a Riley Black in there. The Euro girl at Paint Valley is another one that jumps out at me. I think most of the kids coming back are probably all league talent already there from the top half. So I don't know that they would fit into that category as well.
What are you most looking forward to following in the basketball offseason?
Well, I think it's the work of these kids. You know, these kids I just mentioned there, obviously from the start of the season to the end of the season, really grew. We just talked a lot about off-season commitment and how it's hard to balance. When I think of an Emily Coleman of Uniota, you know, the way she shot the ball in the tournament. Is she able to really carry that in the offseason? Because I think that's the final piece of her game. If she becomes a more consistent shooter, that's an example. At the same time, you know, a Skylar Heiss being able to develop into more of a scorer now, as she's going to have a lot of kids graduate on her. If on the boys' side, those particular kids I mentioned in the last question, are they able to get in the weight room, get a little stronger, get another offseason under their belt? So I really like to watch kids go to work in the offseason to see what they add to their game. And as you start to watch a little summer, as you start to come back and watch them in their fall sport, a lot of times you can really tell what they've done to their body and how much they've improved.
There you have our fast break brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Give them a call. And, of course, tell them the boys at SBC Sports Talk sent you. Well, earlier I mentioned we would be ripe for comments and feedback regarding our segment on the shrinking number of basketball players and so forth. And, of course, we could use that. Or if you have something else that you would like to be contacting us about over what's going to be a little hiatus here as we wait for the season of baseball, softball, and track to get underway, you can contact these gentlemen or this gentleman that we have here this evening. For Shane, it's at admin1@svcsportszone.com for email. You can also contact him through Facebook. You can get him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com and the absent Dr. Webb at the chillicothegazette.com. Of course, Derek's email address, and that's why we jokingly call him Doctor from time to time. He ended up with that when he came back from Illinois. And you can always catch him on Twitter. He has the verified account at DW1509. And while we're at it, you know, to get ready for the spring season so you'll know when we're back, you're welcome, of course, to subscribe through to our podcast through iTunes. You can also do so through the DBK Media Services. That's an email subscription where you just get notified with an email. And if you do so on iTunes, you can please give us a favorable rating. We'd really appreciate that. And you can also use another service kind of gaining a little bit more traction. It's called Stitcher.com. You can look up our podcast there as well. We move now into our post-game comments, again brought to us by C&K Athletic Equipment. As I mentioned earlier, they're sort of in a period of transition, and probably the best way to keep up on what's going on is to like them on Facebook. You can go to their Facebook page there where there is a large post written by Jeff Miller about the information about what's going on with them, the changes that they're making and so forth. Any way you want to cut it, they are going to remain with the telephone number of 740-477-9828. Of course, they have been a great supplier for SVC School Apparel, moving more now into the custom screen printing, custom embroidery, and corporate wear as well. And we appreciate their continued support here on SVC Sports Talk. Well, Shane, winter. It's not got a lot of time left in it. What is still going to happen, and what are you most looking forward to watching as we kind of wind down on the basketball side?
Well, obviously the girls is simple. It's the Southeastern playing for a district title, and how far can they go? It's certainly been a great career for that senior class, and we're rooting for them, and hopefully they still have some basketball left. And on the boys' side, you know, I got thinking about that fast break question there at the end. I think we have six coaches in the league. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so if I'm a little off, I apologize. I think we have six coaches in the boys' league that are in the first couple years of their stay there at their mm-hmm. at their particular school. So what happens is you're really starting to get to a point here at the end of that second year, into the off season of what can happen here and how they're starting to catch onto what the coach is wanting and some of that. So that's some of the stuff I start to look for at the district level. And then I look into the off season as well, here with the winter. So, really looking forward to some basketball. I know there's not a lot left on paper, but I still think our league's in for some real special things here over the next 7 to 10 days.
All right. And then as the calendar turns to the end of March, of course, we have baseball, softball, and track on deck, as they say. What are you kind of thinking about those sports as they get underway?
Well, as always, it's an exciting time. You know, the weather turns and people start to get outside. They'll still hang on to their March Madness with their tournament brackets and all that. And then that's kind of your final bridge to spring and get into your Reds opening day, and golf starts to pick up and different outside activities pick up. So, but, you know, as far as SVC spring sports go, you know, Derek and I will run our preview shows together here with baseball and softball separately. We'll even try to throw in some track a little bit. And, you know, with baseball, I guess the norm is Uniotadina Zane Trace is kind of where you always start. I do feel like all eight programs, though, have more than established themselves in Southeast Ohio in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. Just about every program in baseball has made a district appearance or made a splash. I think even over half the league. Gosh, I think I counted up at one point there in the last decade. I think six teams have played in the regional, 5 or 6 teams, something like that. So, I mean, it just tells you something about the league, the depth of the league, how difficult it is. Obviously, Uniotadina and Zane Trace have set the bar there a little bit, but all the rest of us are trying to run them down. And then when you go, you know, with softball, you know, Westfall is a mainstay, and Uniota is obviously going to be very good. But I think there's a lot of teams throughout the league that are going to bring some new pitching along. And I'm hearing a lot of things about them that's kind of intriguing. So as we get into the preview show and we talk to Derek a lot about that, and we have 2 or 3 softball coaches that I'm already starting to take some notes from, and we're going to try to have them on the show. And I think that'll really give some good softball coverage. And then obviously track, we certainly don't want to cheat. You know, a lot of times we joke about it. Track. Yeah. Kind of cheats themselves early because they don't want to play
their hand. Right.
I just actually went to a conference with Ben Burke the other day, and the traveling over to Logan and back. Ben Burke, obviously his Paint Valley team won the league last year, and they're obviously going to be really, really good again there on the boys track side. But you know, he was sharing a lot of that with me in terms of how strategic it is putting a lineup together and trying to spread your athletes out to give your teams the best chance to be successful. So a lot we'll be able to talk about, and we'll get to those here. And obviously when we get back, Bruce, it'll be that time. You know, this is our final winter show. And before I close this out, is there anything I'm missing, or any final comment that you're seeing on the agenda, or things that you think we need to discuss?
No, I just wish all of our teams that are in the tournament well. You know, it's on to the convo for the 4 and for the 1 on the girls' side as well. And boy, it's an exciting time. Appreciate everybody listening and sticking with us throughout the winter months. And, you know, we kind of hold ourselves out a little bit with pride in the spring, as it seems like a lot of the press coverage just kind of drops off the map so much. So we welcome you in for those episodes, and those will start end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, thanks again to Leah and to Hallie and to Cameron for the audio, as well as all the other kids I talked to and so forth. So that puts a wrap on winter until the next time, which will be in our spring coverage. For Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all of our other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, for Derek Webb, wherever you may be this evening. And this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.